the book of Matthew in chapter 7, and we'll begin reading verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? In this passage of Scripture, we have the duty of prayer. And we're given some encouragement to pray. This, of course, is in connection with the whole context of the Sermon on the Mount. The whole context of the Sermon on the Mount. Concerning being persecuted. Concerning being salt and light. Concerning anger. Concerning the passions of the flesh. Concerning our words. Being truthful. Concerning retaliation. We call it getting even. Concerning loving our enemies. Being as our Heavenly Father. Perfect. Holy. Not being hypocritical in our giving, our praying, and our fasting. Not having an eye for the things of the world. That goes with the praise of the world. Praise of men. But having an eye for the heavenly. Things concerning God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not judging others, but judging ourselves. I need to look more introspectively than I do retrospectively. Being faithful to preach the gospel. You see, if they get hold of the gospel, that'll cure what's wrong with them. All these things that we've mentioned are impossible for me to do, they're impossible for you to do in and of ourselves.
Now,
So, I need grace. I need grace to help me keep these precepts. Everything that we've covered to date in this Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and now 7. I need His grace. And I need mercy. Because I fail. So, in these verses which we've read, our Lord simply says, pray, pray, and pray. So in conclusion this morning, in closing, pray, pray, and pray. No, we won't stop there. But that is the summation of it. And that would be enough, right? That would be words of exhortation to us. We need grace. Pray. Pray. And pray. We need mercy. Pray. Pray. And pray. Our Lord and Savior here gives us a precept. Ask, seek, and knock. In other words, as we said, pray, pray, and pray. Pray in honesty and solemnity from the heart. Lord, You've commanded me to do this and this and this. I want to do this and this and this. But it's not within me to do it. I need Your grace. I need Your help. Pray again, making conscience of your prayer. Be constant. Be earnest in it. He said in the book of Luke, chapter 18, and verse 1, says, and He spake a parable unto this end. Unto this end is added by the King James translators. Just letting you know that it was, he spake a parable for this purpose, for this reason, that men ought always to pray. Always to pray. What was He telling them there? Well, He went on and spake the parable. And He spake the parable of the unjust judge who did not fear God nor had respect for men. And the parable also included this importunate widow who needed relief from her adversaries, from her collectors, her bill collectors. And he, this unjust church says, I fear not God, nor have respect unto man, but because of her importunity, she's going to weary me, trouble me. In other words, she's going to be persistent in asking. And because she persisted in asking, he helped her. Gave relief. If we desire grace, and there's a need for it, I desire to do His commandments. But I can't do it in myself. I need grace to do these precepts. And so we must be persistent in our request for it. Seeking it and knocking. Knocking signifies continued effort. Persistence. Importunity. You see, seeking and knocking implies something more than just asking for it. Not only ask, but seek. The word seek there means in order to find. I've observed people when they're searching for things and they walk around right up in the skies and, well, you're not going to find it that way. You know? I remember as a child not having, we didn't have a lot of money. And I don't know, I guess by today's standards, baseballs were relatively cheap back then. And I was the only boy in the family, and unless I could get a sister to play with me or something. But I would throw the ball against the barn, and I'd throw it up in the air and hit it with my bat and out into a clover field or a cornfield, whichever we had planted the field to that year. I can remember spending hours looking for that baseball. That one baseball was precious. I didn't want to lose it. And I'd look for it and look for it and look for it diligently, kicking that hay all around or in between the corn. I didn't find it then. I'd go back to it later. And I'd keep looking until I found it. As a result, I lost very few baseballs. Because I was persistent in the matter. Well, that's what our Lord's telling us here. Ask. And seek it. Seek to find it. Expecting to find it. And knock. Seeking for that which we have asked. Expecting to receive it. Oh, many times we ask for something, ask for it, and it's like, well, I know I'm not going to get it. We're not really looking for it to get it. Psalms 105, verse 4 says, seek the Lord and His strength. You see, it's not in me to do this. But with His strength I can. That's grace. He'll give me His strength. His Spirit indwelling me. Just look to Him for it. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. That ever word evermore means continually, continually, continually. You don't cease from it, but you continually do it. Not only ask, but knock. You see, not only ask, but seek. And not only ask, but knock. Knock signifies persistent. Seek signifies importunity. Don't just pray, but plead. Wrestle with God. When was the last time you wrestled with God? Seek diligently. We must continue knocking. I think we have some wonderful examples in the Old Testament. Probably one of the more popular ones that we think of is Abraham. Abraham, and when he was told of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah coming, impending destruction, did he just ask and then go his way? Well, the Lord's not going to... No, he persisted with the Lord in the matter, did he not? What about Jacob? That's another one I like. I really like that one with Jacob. Oh, Abraham's good too. But Jacob in Genesis, the 32nd chapter, he wrestled with a man. And it was beginning to break towards day, and this man saw that he wasn't prevailing, and so he thrust him in the hollow of his side and dislocated his joint. Jacob said, I'll not let you go unless you bless me. He said, what's your name? He said, Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For with God, for thou hast been a prince, and hast had power with God and with men. And the man was going to leave, and Jacob's still holding on. Bless me. And he blessed him. And he named the place. What was the blessing that Jacob received? Any of you know? And he named the place Peniel. Why did he name it Peniel? Because I've seen God face to face. You see, he's seen God. He was wrestling with God. He persisted. When was the last time I persisted in prayer for God's grace and mercy? Grace to do His precepts. Mercy because I fail. Secondly, our Lord gives us a promise here. If we in fact do labor in prayer, it will not be in vain. Ask, ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be given unto you. You see, the promise made is ask, and it shall be given. Grace will be given us. Grace will be given you. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, in verse 9, the writer of 2 Corinthians, through the Holy Spirit, lets us know that after he sought God three times, for ask, seek, knock, three times, for the thorn of the flesh to be removed from him, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace. You see, it's not in you, Paul. It's not in your strength, but my grace will cause you to rise above it. Cause you to continue. Grace will be given. In the book of James, in chapter 4 and verse 6, we're told, but He giveth more grace. God giveth more grace. Now, He doesn't just give grace today, but He gives more grace tomorrow. He gives more grace the next day. Ask, He gives grace. Seek, you'll find grace. Knock, He gives grace. More grace. You see, some folks, and sometimes I think we do, we get the mentality, well, grace, that's salvation. Well, listen, yes, it is. But what about after salvation? You're no longer in need of grace? I'm in need of it every day. Every moment of every day. He giveth more grace. I like that. He said, seek, ye shall find. Find grace to help in the time of need. Isn't that what Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 tells us? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. I have need not to be angry. I need grace. I have need to rise above the desires and passions of the flesh. I need grace. I need grace to be a light to this world and salt to this earth. I need grace not to judge my brother, but to look inwardly and judge myself. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We knock for that which we feel shut out to. Just as the impotent friend in the book of Luke. Let's turn there. I intended to read that earlier and didn't read it. Turn with me to the book of Luke. The book of Luke in chapter 11. This is just Luke giving to us more information about the same thing that Matthew recorded for us in Matthew chapter 6 in verses 9 through 14, 15 concerning praying. It's just the same thing. But he continues on, gives us a little more information, Luke does, in verse 5. He said, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, I don't know about you, but I'm not too keen on somebody knocking on my door at midnight. You know? Now, if you folks are in need, and you need me at midnight, don't be afraid to call me or knock on my door. And I'll try to be a true friend to you. But notice, the hour of the night. It's midnight. And say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. I mean, this man went to his friend's house at midnight, expecting to receive three loaves of bread. For a friend of mine, oh, it wasn't even for himself. He wasn't asking this for himself, he was asking this for a friend of his. In his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. He's a friend of mine, but I don't have anything. Can you lend me 3 loaves? And he, from within, shall answer, that is, the man inside the house, shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is shut now. It's now shut. It's locked up for the night. And my children are with me in bed. What in bed? What ails you coming here this time of night? I cannot rise and give to you. In other words, I won't. Well, how do you know that? He won't. That says he cannot. Well, because he don't want to. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, look at the next verse. I say unto you, though he will not. You see, not that he could not, he won't. Mm-hmm. Though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, because he persisted, because he persevered in the matter, it was urgent. This friend of his was in great need, and it's urgent, friend, that you give me 3 loaves, and I'm not going to leave here till you do. And give to him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. See, because of his importunity, because he persisted, he got what he needed. I ask you this morning, do you feel the need for grace? Do you feel the need for grace? After all that we've learned from the Sermon on the Mount, have you felt the need as we dealt with each one of them? I know you have, the same as I have, because we've talked about it afterwards, and we've just, oh boy, yeah, boy, that's me, you know, yeah, we are that way. Yeah, so I know each one of you is saying, you need grace. Well, this promise is not just given to us in verse 7, but it's repeated again in verse 8. Did you notice that? And basically it's with the same meaning, but it includes everyone that asketh, seeketh, and knocketh. Notice the tense of those verbs. Notice the ETH on the end of them. What does the ETH denote? Continuing present. Not just today, but the next moment. Tomorrow. The next moment. The next day. It's ever continuing present. Ever asketh, seeketh, findeth, knocketh. It is made to extend to all his disciples. All of his disciples. Who ask for this grace and mercy shall receive it. But in a right manner. In a right manner. That is, we could say, I don't want this so that I can do this, so that I can go, look at me. I'm a pretty perfect individual. You don't believe it? Just ask me. I tell you. Turn with me to the book of James. James in chapter 1. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. What is wisdom? Well, we would say knowledge. What's more than just knowledge? It's having the skill that goes with the knowledge. The ability to do. Well, what are we talking about then? We're talking about grace. Are we not? Notice it is given. Ask God that giveth. What is grace? It's a gift. It's given. He giveth to all men liberally. And upbraideth not. In other words, he won't get after you for asking for it. Something good to ask for. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man that wavereth, that doesn't ask in faith, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. The one who asks and not in faith and ask wavering, don't think you're going to receive anything of the Lord. We go to God. Lord, help me with my anger. Listen, well, but I know. I'm still in the flesh. It's a futile task. I'll fail. Are we trusting God to give us the grace to help take that away? Or certain desires and passions of the flesh that we might wrestle with and struggle with? Well, you know, I'm not dead yet. I'm still in the flesh. As long as I'm in the flesh, I guess I'm going to do that stuff. Do we go to God that way? We don't have grace to live above those things because, well, what's James say? Not only verses 5 to 7, but we waver, but he says also in the fourth chapter, and in verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. You ask improperly. You ask not in faith. You ask wavering. Or because you want to consume it upon your lust. That's what he said. You ask and have not because you ask amiss. Because you desire to consume it upon your lust. You see, it's a grant. It's a grant for the present. The ETH. Continuing present. It's a continuing thing. Asketh. Seeketh. Knocketh. And he, did you notice the receiving? Receiveth. Find death. And shall continue to have it opened unto you when you knock. Wow. In other words, he that asks, seeks, and knocks today, and continues every day to ask, seek, and knock, shall receive, shall find, and shall have opened unto them. So it is. An ever-present moment for the one who shall ask, seek, and knock. It's illustrated, this thought of asking and seeking and knocking, but more than that, the promise attached to it, receiving, finding, and opened, is illustrated by a similitude. That similitude is found in verses 9 through 11. He gives to us the similitude of our earthly parents. What good parent doesn't want good things for their children? Now, we got a lot of bad parents, evil parents, wicked parents. And they never got beyond self, and they're not doing that which is natural. It's natural for a parent to love their child and be compassionate toward their children. Our Heavenly Father, which is the comparison to our earthly father, our Heavenly Father, being much better than our earthly father, wants good for His children. Does our Heavenly Father want good for I've heard us claim Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What did that verse just say? We love God because we're called according to His purpose, and according to His purpose, He gives us what He purposes is good for us. Not what I think is good for me. But I know grace and mercy are good for me. So I know He'll give me that. You see, He gives us this so that we might direct our prayers to God. He gives us this similitude so that we, in our Heavenly Father being much better than our earthly fathers, so that we might direct our prayers to God. We must come to God, our Father, which art in heaven. Matthew 6, in verse 9. How did He teach us to pray? In Luke chapter 11, in verse 3. How did He teach us to pray? Our Father, which art in heaven. You see, we must come as children. We're His children. We must come as children to our Father which is in heaven. So we come with reverence and we come with confidence that He hears and that He will give to us that which we ask, seek, and knock for. We must come for that which we need. For that's good. That's good. Ecclesiastes. Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. In verse 12. It says, "For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow?" What one of you know what's good for you? I don't even know what's good for myself. But there is one who does. There is one who does, and that was the point of Solomon in this question. God knows what's good for me. And so therefore, I must take it to Him and leave it with Him. But since you and I know that grace is good for us, grace to obey these precepts, grace to obey His Word, and I'm in need of it. So I can ask Him for that, and He'll give it to me. And then, anything else that He deems necessary for my good, He'll give to me beyond that. Amen. I will trust in Him for that. This similitude is also given to encourage us to pray. He said, He gives us assurance that our continued prayers for grace will be answered. No good thing will He withhold. No good thing will He withhold. Psalms 84 and verse 11. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Those that are His. He won't withhold. And what's the subject? Grace. Grace and glory. You see, He won't withhold that from you. God puts into the heart of parents compassion. God has given to good parents a compassionate heart to help and to give to their children. To give to their children their children's desires, if they're good and if they're able to. Fathers, because of the love and compassion in their hearts, labor for their families. And mothers, because of the love and compassion in their hearts for their families, are diligent to see to it that theirs are taken care of. And not only does she just take care of hers, read the book of Proverbs chapter 31. She looks well to her household, but not only to her household, she takes care of the poor too. She gives to the poor. You see, that's our earthly parents. That's what they do for their children. And He's our Father, which art in heaven. God is our Heavenly Father. And how much greater love He has for us even than our earthly parents. He's all-knowing. He sees the end. He knows the outcome, and He knows, so therefore He knows what is truly good for us. And it's good for us to be pleasing in His sight. So what He wants to give us is things that will help us to be pleasing in His sight. He knows that I'm in need of grace to keep His precepts. And therefore, He giveth it. James chapter 4, verse 6 again. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He giveth more grace. He goes on in the next verse to say, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why for? Because He gives more grace. Because He gives more grace. You see, what He said in verse 7 points back to what He said in verse 6. He giveth more grace. He'll give you grace to resist the devil and to submit to him. To God, that is. Praise God for that. And then He knows that I fail. He knows when I fail. He knows that I fail, and therefore I'm in need of mercy. And so, we have the promise. Not that we shouldn't ask for it. We should ask for it. But we have the promise that they're new every morning, do we not? Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. See, His mercies and compassions, it's attached together. They fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Yes, I'm in need of grace that I might do His precepts. I need to ask for it. I'm in need of mercy because at times I fail. And I can be assured to ask, and they'll be new every morning. They're there. Why? Because I need them every moment. I need them every day. Shall we stand?